the rapture of the church, we come across this verse of Scripture. And it's just kind of interesting the way that this is plugged in there. And this verse of Scripture is talking about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of difficulties in life. And there's going to come a time, folks, when if Christ tarries, we're going to pass from this life. And when we pass from this life, we don't pass as people without hope. But instead, we have the hope of the glory of the resurrection. And that's a blessed hope, not an I hope so hope. It's much better than a campaign promise of hope and change. It is instead a hope of I know my Redeemer lives. And I know because He lives, I too shall live. And so even if we pass from this life, that's not the end. And there isn't a hopeless end, but there is hope in Christ. Now, until we get to that point, there is also hope. And as Paul is writing this particular passage of Scripture, he's trying to let the Corinthian church know that, look, there is a glorious hope of the resurrection. But not only that, there is a present victory over sin. The ultimate victory over sin, yes, will be the resurrection. But in our spirit, we are resurrected in Christ when we give our heart and our life to Christ. And then there is victorious living when we enter into a life of being sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit, cleansed and made righteous in the eyes of God. And in the process of that, then there is victory that comes in our lives. And so Paul just kind of interjects that. He has talked about the fact that the law was weak in the fact that it couldn't really affect change. All it could do would be reveal the faults that people have. But when Christ came, died on the cross, rose from the dead, He could affect change in the person's life. Not when they're dead, but while they live. And this 57th verse is kind of breaks apart by letting us know that our conquest then is to live a life here and now that honors God. And so that's what we want to look at. And there's three things I want to share with you out of this verse. It's first of all, the praise. Secondly, it's the power. And then third, it's the person. And when these areas are in their right perspective, Christians can be victorious over sin. And in the process of being victorious over sin, they can glorify God and be a blessing to others. How many people here remember a lady who was in this church for years and years and years, who made awesome fudge? Who was that? We were just talking about this the other day. But you know what? I don't remember Eldora Hurley because of her fudge. I remember Eldora Hurley because of her gentle spirit. And I'm not sure that I have met very many people in my life who had a sweeter, gentler spirit than Eldora Hurley. She was just an amazing Christian because she had settled the issue of being a victorious believer in Christ. And folks, that becomes so important in our lives. And as long as I live, although I loved her fudge, I loved her spirit more. And who she really was in Jesus Christ. And Paul, in this writing to the church, is indicating, look, the power of sin will destroy, but the power of Christ brings about change. And when a person is changed, they're no longer under the pressure and the school master of the law. But sin can be defeated in the heart and the life of the believer, and that a person can walk in faith, in righteousness, and in obedience to Christ. And so that's how he interjects that right in the middle. There is this glorious hope of the resurrection, but there is grand opportunity beforehand to live in Christ and to affect change in our world. And that's what we need to be and what we need to do. These three things I want to share you out of this verse. The 57th verse reads like this: "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul is writing in this moment, he's not looking ahead. He's looking right here and now. He knows his confidence, his trust is in the Lord, and that there will be a glorious resurrection. But he also is looking at the fact that God is not the God of the future alone. He is the God of the here and now. And that we as believers have got to recognize the fact that he is the one who deserves our praise, because he is the one who brings about change and affects change in the life of the believer. Notice this. This verse begins with the words, "But thanks be to God." He has just covered with them that the law cannot save. He has just covered with them that all that the law can do is reveal the shortcomings of our life. And he says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And then he says, but thanks be to God. There's where redemption comes. And that's where we need to praise the Lord. But thanks be to God. You see, some Christians fail to praise the Lord enough. They whine a lot. They complain a lot. Oh, poor, poor, pitiful me, is the way Linda Ronstadt used to sing it back in the 70s. Poor, poor, pitiful me. But Paul says, look, we are not poor. We are not pitiful. Because thanks be to God. If we are children of God, if we are walking with Jesus Christ, we are not people to be pitied. We are to be people of praise and people who lift up glory and honor to God for everything that He does for us and everything then that He does through us. Because He's using us. Stop and think about this. The God who could... what do you think the impact would be if suddenly in the sky, God would reveal himself on the throne. Wouldn't that be something? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? It would also be frightening, wouldn't it? To those who love his appearing, that would be an amazing moment. To those who walk against him, that would be a moment of terror, sheer terror. And so what does God do? Instead of terrorizing, he uses you and I to affect people in this world. That's an amazing opportunity. God loves us enough and he trusts us enough that he trusts us with his word and that he trusts us to be faithful and obedient and to effect change in this world. We share with him the harvest. We share with him. We work together with God in helping to bring people into the kingdom. What a blessing that is. And we ought to praise him for that. Not be saying, well, there's one more sinner that I got to be in contact with. For crying out loud, don't these people know any better? You know, instead of that, let's thank God for the opportunities that he gives us. And so Paul is saying, look, the proper place to put praise is in God. Because it's through his grace that we are affected in our lives. And so we need to praise him. We should remember that God has a purpose in everything that he allows and in every individual that he allows to cross our lives. You know, God makes divine appointments for us. I believe that with all my heart. He makes divine appointments. For some reason, people cross our lives and we should take advantage of those appointments. And allow him to affect others through us. And we may not understand the circumstances. We may not understand the opportunities. But we need to continue to praise the Lord anyhow. And to thank him for those times. And then take advantage of the opportunities that he gives us. And we need to give him glory. Whenever he has used us in any fashion. Give him the glory. Don't try to take it ourselves. Give him the glory. Secondly, I want you to notice the power. Look at the generosity of God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. You know, and this is where this is so interesting, because he is talking about the rapture of the church. He's talking about the resurrection, but he places here in the present tense victory. But thanks be to God who, he doesn't say, will give us the victory, but who gives us the victory. This is present tense with ongoing results. And so as God gives us the victory, he's not giving us victory in just this circumstance, in this moment. He gives us the power. He gives us the victory in an ongoing blessing in our lives. The victory from God is poured out continually. It is present tense. Wouldn't it be awful to have to live in the victory of something that took place in your life 30 years ago and have that be the only victory? Wouldn't that be horrible? And yet, how many people do that? That's what they do. They look back to this moment in time and they say, man, I remember when I had victory here. I remember when I had victory here and this was just a great moment. And let me tell you about the old days and the great victory that I had back here. When in reality, God pours out victory on us that is an ongoing present existence. We don't have to trust in a victory back then when we can live in victory in Christ now and know that we'll have victory in Christ tomorrow and that the grace of that day will be sufficient to meet the needs of that day. I was talking one time with a lady who used to go to church, and she was in a mess. Her husband had died, and she had totally walked away from the church. And I had begun to talk with her about making sure that her spiritual life was in order, and she needed to get herself in church and that kind of thing. And she said, "Oh, preacher, you don't have to worry about me. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 13. Now, currently, she's in the bars, and she's drinking and carousing and doing all of those things that were totally and are totally offensive to God. But she was looking at this victory moment when she was 13. And so these 40 years or 40 some years later, she's still looking back. But you know what? God gives us on a daily basis opportunity for grace, for victory, and for opportunity to be able to live for Him so that we don't have to be overcome by the power of sin. But we can walk in faith with Jesus Christ and in obedience to Him and be a blessing in this life. You see, He has the power to do that. If you think that you cannot live above sin, then you serve a God who is way too small. And you have an enemy who's way too big. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Number three, the person. This is where the victory comes from. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mankind broke relationship with God through disobedience. That's what happened. When Adam and Eve sinned, they broke relationship with God. God reached to them to restore relationship. They didn't reach to Him. They hid from Him. But God reached out to them. And you see, that took place in that garden when there was just two. And then if we move ahead about 4,000 years, give or take, and I don't know how many years it was from Adam and Eve until the birth of Jesus Christ, we see once again God reaching out to mankind. The power of sin was so overwhelming But man could not have the victory. But God, in His mercy, reached to us through the person of Jesus Christ to bring us victory, to give us the opportunity to live a life that honors God, so that we don't have to be controlled and ruled by sin, but instead, we can be truly free. And even Jesus talked about that, didn't he? He whom the Son sets free will continue to be enslaved to sin. Is that what he said? Ken, you're shaking your head no, like that's not what he said.
Free indeed.
We'll be free indeed? Oh, sometime in the future. Right now. Right now. You see, the victory comes because the victor is on our side. The victory is there for the taking if we've been set free by the Son. When Jesus Christ sets us free, Satan has no power over us. That's why James says, resist him and he'll run. Far too often the Christian says, I just can't do any better. Well, you don't have to. Resist Satan, and Christ gives the victory. He gives the power. He gives the authority that allows you to live in victory now. But thanks be to God who gives us, present tense, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the person of victory. He is the person who has overcome the world. He is the person who has overcome the power of death and the power of sin. He is the person who has effected change in our hearts and lives. We must submit to His will and to His authority. And our victory is present. It's not sometime in the future. It's here and now. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing God we serve. Would you please stand? I would just encourage you, don't have too big an enemy and too small a God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You for the promises of Your Word. We thank You now for the resurrection that shall happen, but we thank You now for the resurrection that has happened. When we were made alive through Christ, through faith, Father, all because of Your grace, You don't want to see us suffer. You don't want to see us sin. And so You give us Your presence to effect change in our lives and to bring change to this world. Lord, flow through us, and we'll give You thanks and praise and glory. For it's in Your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.